Hello, everyone. Today, as part of our unit on women in early modern Spain, we are going to talk about women and the Spanish Inquisition. But first, we need to know a little bit about the Inquisition, what it was, where and when it started, and who was targeted. This podcast will synthesize this information in one place for you. Please remember to take notes while I am talking for use in class and for future reference. Okay, so let's start. The biggest misconception about the Spanish Inquisition was that it targeted non-Catholics. Many people believe that the Spanish Inquisition targeted the Jews who had been living in Spain for centuries, and this is not necessarily the case. The Inquisition was designed to root out heresy and purify the Catholic faith in Spain. The Catholics began their Reconquista, or reconquest, of Spain from the Moors in 711 AD. They would finish this Reconquista in 1492. During the Muslim rule of Spain, an area they called Al-Andalus, Jews, Christians, and Muslims lived together in convivencia, a Spanish word which means living together. It was not a harmonious period, but Jews especially did enjoy a period of cultural sharing and inclusion in the society, though they were at times persecuted. However, in most cases, they were tolerated. As the Christians began to take over, starting their Reconquista from the north of Spain, they began to take a harder line towards the Jews and the Muslims. Persecutions and distrust deepened, and the convivencia gradually receded. At the end of the 14th century, in 1391 to be exact, everything blew up. Many Jews were killed, and many more were forced to convert to Christianity. In total, over 5,000 Jews were killed in 1391. These mass conversions of 1391 and subsequent forced conversions of Jews created a subgroup in Spanish society called the Crypto-Jews. Crypto means secret. In Spanish, they were called conversos judaizantes, meaning converts who practiced Judaism. These crypto-Jews were outwardly Catholic, but privately and secretly retained traditional Jewish beliefs, practices, language, and traditions. As the 15th century went on, more and more rumors spread of the existence of these crypto-Jews. To the devout Spanish Catholics, this was very sinister and threatened the stability of the new Catholic regime. The King and Queen of Spain, Ferdinand and Isabella, asked permission from the Pope in 1478 to start the Spanish Inquisition. This Inquisition was designed solely to root out heresy in the Catholic faith. Non-Catholics were not targeted. The Inquisition relied on the accusations and testimony of Spanish citizens in the prosecution of heretics. You can imagine the sense of suspicion and distrust this created in society. It also operated under guilty until proven innocent, which is very different from our codes of law today. It also caused that many were convicted of Judaizing. After the early years of the Spanish Inquisition, Ferdinand and Isabella received permission from the Pope to expel all non-Catholics from the country in 1492. You see, Columbus's voyage was not the only thing that happened that year. This edict of his expulsion was another turning point for Spanish Jews and crypto-Jews. Many more Jews converted, but others simply left the country in what is known as the Spanish diaspora. Again, the new converts may or may not have adopted their new religion or become crypto-Jews, which, contrary to what the monarchs wanted, further tainted the purity of the Catholic faith. In this class, we will be looking at some of the many testimonies of suspected crypto-Jews, more specifically, those of women. We will engage in close readings of these testimonies to recreate the context, pick out possible strategies they used when defending themselves or accusing their neighbors or family, and ultimately, you will take the role of the inquisitor and pronounce them innocent or guilty under their terms of law. Now, before we begin, I will share an example with you. Number 1. The Case. Isabel Fernandez appeared before the tribunal in the Canary Islands. When she was questioned in court, she asked to be given until the following day to defend herself, as her mind was confused. When she returned on the following day, during the proceedings, she asked for a little water and then fainted. Her son-in-law said she was prone to fainting. Number 2. Possible strategies. Why did Isabel want a day to think about the questions? Was she going to try and corroborate her story with others who might be called to testify about what she was accused of? Did she faint for real, or was she trying to avoid questioning? She could have been strategizing to buy more time for herself. She could have also used that she was a woman and stereotypically prone to fainting spells to get out of questioning too. Do you see how she may be using her status as a woman to work in her favor? Her experience with the tribunal would be much different from a man's. Number 3. The verdict. What do you think? Based on what you know of the case, which isn't much, would she have been declared innocent or guilty?